And bang, we are live all over social media, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, wherever you're watching us. Welcome to the Tripod Live with Clarky and Winnie. This is our NRL Round 2 preview. We are very happy to have your company, and we are here every single Tuesday around 5:30 p.m. to preview the entire round for you all. No matter where you're joining us, as I said, we really do appreciate your company. With that in mind, Winnie, how are you going, mate? How's everything on your end? And how did we go on the best bets on that front last week?
Yeah, scrambling as always, because we want to be live as soon as possible, but I'm never going to take shortcuts when it comes to locking in the best bets and being prepared to present those. So sorry again, guys, because we're a few minutes off the mark and it's my fault just trying to bring everything together. But I promise you, we always get a great show. We've got some great best bets, I believe, to share. But on last weekend, 1-1, which rounded out a 3-1 best bet round one, of course, extended over two weekends. But the one losing best bet, and the reason the mixed matchup lost, the same team, your Gold Coast Titans. So I fronted up on Sunday. I gave my thoughts about my current thoughts and position on the Titans. You were on the ground, mate. So you were right there with me proclaiming they would tear up the Dragons. And I can't let you off without kind of your report from seeing that putrid performance in person.
Yeah, man, I mean, they're my team. It was the first time coming into a season I've actually been super excited and confident that we were going to do well. I felt so comfortable tipping us 13+. I thought I'd escape the music, missing the recap show. But yeah, it is time to front up the Titans. Look, I'm used to them letting me down, right? So how everyone else felt is something that I've felt quite regularly, unfortunately, since I've become a Titans fan. It absolutely sucked. The only thing I can put it down to, and I'm not making any excuses, is with Kieran Foran out, you had a very young side that really didn't handle the pressure at all. Maybe not even pressure. That's not the right word. The expectation that they should win and win well. They did not handle that at all. They played horribly. It was a real struggle being there live in the front line. And ultimately, a day I'd like to forget, I'm sure as much as everyone would love to forget, that was on the best bet and the mixed matchup last week. So I almost feel responsible, man. Like, I've been putting it out there on my Titans podcast and saying, you know, we've got to believe. I put it on this show saying everyone else should believe. So, you know, I feel like I almost don't want to apologize if it was my fault we lost, but it was...
I feel the same way. I feel like, did I put the mock on them by calling them the breakout team? Good news coming through in the comments. They will get the 2 points this week. We also don't have to watch them this week, which is good news for us. Hopefully they can work on their footy. And just before we lead into best bets, I will just say the general theme and everything that I've been thinking about going into this week is what was real and what was unreal in round one. That's the key, because every team has good games, bad games, ebbs and flows, and things just happen in matches where you don't always get the right result based on performance levels. So it's not going to be as simple as rinse and repeat from round one, that's for sure. You'll get that trend very quickly when you hear my best bets.
Yeah, I'm really worried about this round. I feel like it's a round where a lot of people will just tip the favorites and there will be a lot of upsets in my mind. I think it's tougher to pick than people will expect. Round one reminds me a lot of the last round, where just results can go askew in any way, and it's really difficult to pick. The only joy I had last week was Raiders +8.5 and the Eels-Dogs game going under. Apart from that, an all-round poor week with an exclamation point from my Titans bet. I put 15 units on it whilst I was there live, thinking that this would be a great night. And it wasn't a great night. I'll give you a red hot tip there. But let's draw back the curtains, mate. What have you got for us this week in the way of best bets?
Yeah, gamble responsibly as always, but you can't say Clarky didn't put his money where his mouth was at least. I recapped round one. So I encourage you guys, go back, get my full thoughts on the live recap show if you're more interested. But certainly the unexpected played out in a lot of games. And I'll tell you now, three best bets for round two, two underdogs, one favorite, but let's start with an underdog. On Friday, I'm going to take the Bulldogs +4.5 at $1.88 on Ladbrokes in the first half. They looked really bad in round one, but that's actually the team I want to bet on in round two, generally, if the market adjusts and then if I feel it over-adjusted. And while Canterbury was bad, no denying it, a big part of that match playing out was that Parra was clinical and would have beaten both sides. The Sharks were gutsy in week one in New Zealand, of course, and they'll back themselves to outgrind the Dogs. But I just don't think the ability of these two sides is too far apart. I can see it being a low-scoring, gritty-style game. I will take the 4.5, and I'll explain as well. When a line is 8.5, but I can get 4.5 first half, that 8.5 could climb to 10. The 4.5, there's no chance it's going to get to 6. So I like the first half line. It's not going to get any higher. You've got to hold your nose and play the Dogs, but I do think they'll bounce back to a degree. Then another one I really like, I'm taking the New Zealand Warriors plus 1.5 tries. That's not over 1.5 tries. That is the plus 1.5 try handicap, $1.85, $3.65. That's massive to me. And I do like the 7.5 line as well. I'm surprised this is over a converted try. Again, I think it's an overreaction for round one. No doubt, Storm deserved to win. Warriors didn't, but they both played tight, low-scoring games against good opponents. Munster is still out, as we've seen from the team list. I can't see why Melbourne are that much better. I'm confident Webster's troops will take the fight to Melbourne and will fight them tooth and nail to avoid starting 0-2. And then the favourite, I promised you, I'm going Roosters again. And just head-to-head, $1.82 everywhere, but 365 is the best way to play them where you get the result at 80 minutes, but you can also win an extra time. Look, Lenu, my buy of the season prediction, out is going to hurt, but you are still so deep. And I know that this line is close to pick 'em because Manly looked fantastic in the season opener. They were sharp at Brooksvale, but the Roosters are deeper. The Roosters are more complete. Teddy's got a point to prove and looks rejuvenated a little bit this year. He's no turbo, but he's not a world away either. And it just looks to me the Roosters are taking this year a bit differently, where they're focused on stacking those early wins. I think they get another one on Sunday. I was surprised the match was pick 'em.
I like all three bets. The one I like most, though, is the Warriors. We talk about the Melbourne Storm being thin in the middle this year. Well, that's an area that the New Zealand Warriors are absolutely not. They have a stacked forward pack. You know, for the Storm, they're also that Nelson Asafa Solomona, who most people would say is their best middle forward. And someone like Christian Welch is coming off the bench for them now. So it will be a very interesting game there. I've got some super interesting stats for that game. It might surprise some people, but I like the Warriors there as well. With that in mind, though, let's jump right into our round preview. We kick it off with the Broncos v Rabbitohs. We're at Suncorp Stadium, and the line is set at -8.5 in the Broncos' favour. No changes for the Broncos. For the Rabbitohs, Talas Duncan's in. Jai Arrow's out. That's a big loss. Shekhi Mitchell in and Jacob Host out. Both sides coming off a loss in Las Vegas, Winnie, and both sides were favourites in Las Vegas. So who do you have bouncing back in this one?
Tell you what, again, if you don't mind, you want to roll us through all your points for the game, okay. And then I'll cap it, and then you can have the final word.
Perfect. I think it's tough to make a pick here because you're really going off which side you think is going to bounce back, not which side you are more impressed with, because they're both below standard in round one. Broncos have won 3 of their last 4 against the Rabbitohs, but that one loss was actually at Suncorp last year in round 9. Bunnies beat them by 24. That was when they went on that run where they beat Penrith, Broncos, Storm, all the top sides there. So when I look at this one, I think I prefer the Broncos, given it's at Suncorp Stadium. We know they draw huge crowds and there is a genuine home advantage there. But I don't feel strongly enough at a line of -8.5. I think that's a little bit too large. I think these sides are a bit closer than that. But by the same token, I can't quite justify getting around the Rabbitohs because there is still an element of the unknown. And what I mean by that is a lot of the errors that plagued their season last year and the issues they had last year, I saw those still there in round one. There didn't seem to be any improvement on the errors and the silly decision-making. So for that reason, I'm going to stay off this game. I think the Broncos will win. And I think this will be one, Winnie, where both sides will either fight attack with attack and we'll have a super high-scoring contest, or they'll fight defense with defense. We'll have a super low-scoring contest. Either way, I think it makes for a great game. Who do you prefer in this one?
I would have to say, for the same reasons that I didn't like Souths in Vegas, those remain in round two. Like, I look at the outside backs, you're under strength with no White and no Campbell, the likes of Kennar, Jacob Gagai out there. That's a major concern. When you get opportunities that will be created by Latrell and by Cody, do you take advantage of those? But also, can you handle the likes of Cobbo, Staggs, and also Walsh and Mam who get out in open space? Can you handle them one-on-one with some of your outside backs? It feels like a big advantage to Brisbane. Souths are also spouting a bit of this rhetoric that I don't like to hear for a team I want to back right now, which is we need to build our season. And this is Demetrio taking a page out of Wayne Bennett's book. It's technically true. You can't win the comp in the first month, but it isn't what you want to hear from a team if you want to back them right now. Arrow hurts, although Duncan is a legit first grader. I also thought Brisbane weren't bad in Vegas. Like, the Roosters were top-notch. The field dimensions didn't help. And we mentioned it in our recap. Piakura is out very early. It screws up the back row. You've already got to replace Capewell. But then they went and shifted Carrigan to the edge, which I thought was a mistake. And you lost his ability in the center of the field where Radley ran amok. So plenty of reasons why I think Brisbane can improve and respond. Less confident about Souths. And I will say I'm going to be at this game too, so I'll get to see in person. And I haven't come up with a best bet because I don't think Brisbane can be stopped. You know, Reynolds, there's the knee news, but it's more so they're saying a knock rather than anything more sinister. And with a longer turnaround, you'd think he'll serve it up to his old side. So I think Brisbane should win it and be in control, but the line has really climbed. If you wanted Brisbane, you kind of had to be on them earlier. I mean, you mentioned last year, Souths will pick them in Brisbane without Latrell Mitchell. Now they come in, they're plus 8.5. So it is a big adjustment. I don't want to wait for a line to move that far and then try and get it because I'm not getting the best of it. So that's why I've passed.
And I think as well, when you mentioned that Brisbane have the more powerful outside backs where the Rabbitohs are still a little thin, I think Selwyn Cobbo has 7 tries in his last 6 at Suncorp. And I think Selwyn Cobbo is 10 tries from his last 11. So
you
both their centres.
You meant Stags.
Sorry, Stags and Cobbo, my apologies there. So Stags is 6 from 7, Cobbo is 10 from 11. So their centres do have pretty good strike rate if people are interested in any time tries.
Obviously, Cobbo, a lot of those on the wing. But
exactly, so that does change slightly. Absolutely. Well, our next game, Sharks v Bulldogs. It's at PointsBet Stadium, and the line is set at -9.5 in Cronulla's favour. One change for the Doggies. Connor Tracy comes in, and the Fox is out. For what it's worth, I actually don't think that's too big of a loss for the Doggies. Like, I know Fox is the rep player, but I think Fox has gotten a little bit complacent and comfortable over the last few seasons, whereas Tracy's coming on his club debut against his former club. So I think that kind of puts him up to a new level there. If there's one thing we know about the Sharks, based on the last 2 seasons, under Fitzy, they're very good against bottom 8 opposition. Generally, they get the job done. And we can safely say the Bulldogs do fit into that bottom 8 season based, bottom 8 teams rather, based off the last 2 years and what we saw in round 1. Sharks have won 11 of their last 13 against the Doggies, and the Doggies have not won at PointsBet in 13 years. The Bulldogs have also been very poor on the road recently. They've only won 1 of their last 8 when traveling. I think all signs do lead to a dominant Sharks victory here, but I do agree with you, Winnie, that the Doggies will have some fire in their belly. None of their forwards hit 100 metres last week. That is atrocious. There's really no other word for it. You need to have your forwards hitting 100 metres all across the park if you want to dominate. So I think they'll get a big rev up. I think that'll get a response in the first half, as you believe also. But I do see the Sharkies taking over this one late in the second half. And maybe not to that line. 9.5's a big line, but I've got the Sharkies winning regardless. So you're going to tip the Dogs in the first half. Do you think they can go on with it, or do you see the Sharkies coming back as well?
I just put it like this. If the Doggies are down, kind of converted try plus, you won't feel confident with the plus 8.5, 9.5 in your pocket anyway. So I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry if Fitzgibbon, who's, you know, a notoriously tough trainer, if his troops are fitter, you know, and they showed they were outstanding second half against New Zealand. Well, Seraldo will tell you the Dogs were outstanding second half as well. I didn't like his, you know, I listened to all the interviews and he comes out saying, I was so happy that we won, you know, we won the last 20 minutes, 2-1. It's like, you were down 20-0. Mm. I mean, come on, that sounds like the old Adam O'Brien where he goes, you know, if we can just play the way that we played from the 35th minute to the 54th minute, where in that period we actually got in front by 8, then, you know, we'll be an unbeatable team. It's like, yeah, every game swings back and forth. You can't only pinpoint when it went your way and say, we just need to bottle that up. So, look, I'm a little bit worried, but ultimately round 2 is going to be close to as unpredictable as round 1. Like, we haven't learned everybody's story yet. And I just think these sides are actually closer together than what just about everyone else is going to expect. And it's at Shark Park. I do think Cronulla wins. But again, I'm willing to take that start. And I do think that there should be a bounce back. And I said at the start as well, the Bulldogs look terrible. But what if a lot of that was Parramatta being really superb? So we'll find out. And I'm willing to back them to find out.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one, that game. For what it's worth, I actually did have the Sharks missing the finals in my predicted ladder. So potentially,
as did I.
Well, we're both seeing that game close and what that line indicates potentially as well. So that's interesting as well.
And I think I explained like why I take first half versus second half, but just again, like I think the key number of four holds more value in 40 minutes than the key number of eight holds in 80, just slightly. So four and a half just in a half, even stronger than eight and a half for the full game.
And I do remember last year you hit more of the first halves than you didn't. But, of course, the one time you didn't hit it and the full-time one clicked on, everyone says, oh, why'd you do it that way? That was just the way the cookie crumbles was. But more times than not, you did hit that first half best bet. So that was awesome. Primetime Friday night, man, this is going to be a great game. It is the Panthers v Eels. We're at Bluebet Stadium in Penrith, and the line is set at -7.5 in Penrith's favour. They welcome back Scott Sorensen and Mitch Kenny. This is a grand final rematch from 2021. Panthers are 10 from their last 11 at home, and that one loss actually was to the Eels last year in round 26. So I went and looked a little bit more because I remembered in previous years the Eels always seem to beat the Panthers in the regular season, and they have been very good against them. I think the last time they lost, from what I could see, was round 16 in 2021. Now, that was the last time Penrith beat the Eels in the regular season. We all know they've beaten them in the finals a fair bit over that time, most notably the grand final, but Eels have stepped up in the regular season, just not when it counts, unfortunately. I think that works against them here. I think that means Penrith come in more focused, particularly because they're coming off a loss. I think there's less chance the Eels, quote-unquote, ambush them because the Panthers know what to expect, given they haven't got a win in the regular season for 3 years over them now. And given, you know, the recent results of these teams in games that matter, it leads me to the Penrith Panthers here. I think this one will matter to them. I've got them winning. I don't have an official tip here. I just don't like that line. I think it's a little bit too big because the Eels have shown they can go with the Panthers in the regular season. So tough one for me. I'll go Panthers just, but I can't play that line. How are you seeing it?
As I just said before, like I was super impressed by Para. I can tell, obviously, you've got some a lot of Titans fans in your household. We can hear some disgruntled ones in the background. I don't know if there's certain things you can't control. That's all good. Just in case, if you got any way of closing any doors or anything, I know that others might be able to hear it, but you can't control the way the Titans play. And if they can play a bit better, we might get some happier people in the Clark household. Look, you got Parramatta catching Penrith at a great time, being early in the year. Like, you want to play the Panthers as early as possible. They've just had the longest season you can have, 4 years in a row. Then they had a Northern Hemisphere trip this year, followed by a bruising battle in Melbourne. So in that regard, it's a good time to catch the Panthers, as opposed to what I'm saying, you know, mid-season or late-season form. And I mentioned as well in the recap, Jerome doesn't look quite up to speed at this point either. He had off-season surgery, right? The bad thing about playing Penrith this week is that they're off a loss. And if you want to go back, you can say they're off two losses because the World Club Challenge is meaningful. Now you look at the fact that the Eels were the only team that beat Penrith twice last year. It is a good rivalry, and recent matchup history is certainly going to tell you Para can keep this close and going to tempt a lot of people into taking the points. And there is some truth to that, that Para has stepped up. But if you kind of look at each of those individual games, I mean, last year, Penrith still finished top, and Para got them late in the year where Para just treated it like a grand final. Penrith was in cruise control. So that's an example where, you know, it didn't mean the same to both sides. And in fact, I think it's going to serve as extra motivation for Penrith. What more do they need? Western Sydney rival at home. As someone commented, it's a sellout. And this team has actually, I mean, you can't say Para's owned Penrith, and Penrith got the most important win of all. You referenced the 2022 grand final. But still, you know, for a team that wins nearly every week in Penrith, that extra motivation of wanting to reassert that they are, that Para are their sons, is big. I'm not going to get in front of the premiers here. It's kind of similar to how I see Brisbane. I think off a loss, they come home, they'll assert their dominance. And the thing about the line is, it may be in the balance for a long time, but I say this about Penrith so often. They'll wear you down for 60 or 70 metres, but then they can just break you apart at the end and then blow out beyond that line. So I do rate the Eels and give them a chance in this one, but I just didn't want to get out in front of Cleary and Co.
Yeah, and even like I was looking at the Panthers 2023 season there. They lost round one there. They won round two by 6 points to the Bunnies. Then they had a bye. Then that was when the Eels beat them by 1 point. So,
and that was an absolute cracking match as well. Remember, that was the one. Cleary, it's a 2-point field goal to send it to extra time. They were both outstanding in that one.
That was an incredible game. Hopefully we get something similar to that on Friday night, and we'll have a better same game multi on this one. So this will be our better same game multi of the week, created by Winnie. Once again, Winnie had a winner, $6 or higher odds each and every month of the 2023 season. If our show leaves you wanting more punting previews, Better also brings you the Fox Sports Lab on their YouTube channel. If you want to check out Better and need an account, follow the link in the show description, then get in touch with Winnie. As always, an important reminder, what are you really gambling with? For free and confidential advice, call the number or visit the website in the show description. Excited to see what you cook up there. Let's move over to Saturday. We've got Raiders v Tigers at GIO Stadium in Canberra. The line is set at -7.5 in the Raiders' favour, who do welcome back Sebastian Chris. That moves Albert Hopewadi to the wing and Nick Kotrick drops out. Few surprises in the Tigers' side, most notably Lachlan Galvin, a young gun schoolboy's halfback there. He's at 5'8". Aiden Caesar will come off the bench. Jaden Sullivan's halfback. And Solomone Fatape starts at centre because Justin Olam's still out with that knee injury. How much is a bye worth in round one? We don't know because the only game we have is last year and the Dragons did get the job done over the Titans. I think it's extremely unlikely the Tigers get the job done here, though, just by nature of how Raiders play. They don't really play a style, in my opinion, that's going to allow the Tigers to get back into this game. I think they're really going to grind on them, wear them down, target them in the inexperienced areas, such as the 5'8" and the center position there. Raiders have won 7 straight over the Tigers, and the Tigers have only won at Geo Stadium once in their last 6 visits. Raiders kind of did buck the trend last year where they won 13+, but they haven't won back-to-back since round 19 last year, so they'll definitely want to do that. I think they take confidence from really putting a score on the Knights because it's something they weren't able to do last year. I do think a win against the Tigers here is very, very likely. I think the Tigers will be outmatched, but not only outmatched, I think they'll be out-enthused throughout. I think the Raiders' gritty style will really take over in that second half, and they'll just shut the Tigers out of the game in this one. So I'm tipping Raiders to cover the line here. I think they'll win by at least 8 points. How are you seeing this one?
Just to clarify what you said there about the Raiders won 13+, you mean they won 13+ games?
No, the score. They didn't win a game 13+ all last year.
Oh, they didn't until last week, you're saying?
Yes, when they flogged the Knights. Yes. I think they take a lot of confidence from that.
True. In fact, when I think of the Raiders-Tigers, the most recent matchup was that wild one where Raiders ran out to 18-0, Tigers got back to 19-18 in front, and then Canberra got a penalty and snuck out with a 1-point win too. Although that was, I think at Leichhardt, this is obviously down in the nation's capital in your backyard. My instinct was take the Tigers here. You talked about what's that buy worth? We've only had 17 teams in the comp for 2 years. I took the Dragons a year ago. No one wanted to touch them last year. And against your Titans, who actually had looked good in round one, if you remember, a year ago, the Titans, I think, rolled west, right? And came into round two, were a favourite against the Dragons, who were the idle side. And in fact, it worked out well. The Dragons had a double-digit win. So I kind of felt similarly here that it was Canberra that won really impressively, 16-point victory, as you said, in Newcastle. But the line has been pushed, and the line has been pushed too far, I would say, which is why my instinct was to take West. But the reason I haven't gone that far and taken the Tigers with the start is, let's remember, the Raiders played Thursday. So that's a sweet turnaround, you know, Thursday to Saturday and you're at home. It negates the fact that the Tigers got a bye, I believe, to a degree. I also think, to answer your question, although I did take Dragons a year ago in the same situation, the bye is not worth very much in round two because what you gain in rest and recuperation, you didn't need that early in the season, and you lose in repetitions and match fitness that is really beneficial early in the year. You'd rather play a couple of games early in the year, get yourself going. When you want the rest is later in the year, which is why copping a bye early is far from a good thing. You mentioned Galvin in the halves over Caesar. It's hard to know what to make of that. Don't know much of his game, to be fair. Canberra persisting with Rapana at fullback, even though Chris is in the team, that is curious to me. But I guess it's not certain they line up that way because you can shift Chris to fullback, you can put Rapana on the wing, and you can slide someone like Hopewadi or Kotrick into centre. Look, I think Canberra are overrated after the Knights win. They're not going to win that easily each week. I also talked about the nighttime conditions suited them, but they got to play in the day here. By the same token, you mentioned the style of matchup, and I think it will be a very similar way that Canberra wants to play. They want to take the sledgehammer to West and see how they respond. So Yuto Kamanu, Klemmer, Bolle, Poile off the bench. They're going to have to stand up. They don't. They will get blown away by Canberra. Again, line slightly too high for mine, but I think Ricky, even though his team wins by 16, he'll still play off the fact that you've all been written off. No one gives us any chance. He'll tell them they're the underdog and they're at home, and I think they do come out and win. So I left it alone.
And I can see Colt, he says this will be a dog's breakfast this game. Very interested to see how it plays out. But yes, in the weather conditions, it could be a scrappy one. Let's go to the Cowboys v Knights. We're at Queensland Country Bank Stadium up there in Townsville. The line set at -7.5 in the Cowboys' favour. For the Knights, they've got Thomas Jenkins in because Chuala is out. Pierce-Paul also starts. That's because Dylan Lucas is out and Cartwright to the bench. So a few changes for the Knights, nothing too significant. No changes for the Cowboys. This is an interesting one. Cowboys were one of the most impressive teams in rounds one, and you'd say that the Knights were probably one of the least impressive teams in round one. One side of me wants to tip the Knights here. Like you always say, a week's a long time in rugby league. You're willing to give a team another chance as long as it's not two poor performances in a row. But I just didn't see enough signs of life against the Raiders last round. I thought the Cowboys at some stages kind of let the Dolphins back in the game, but not to an extent where I can see the Knights being able to exploit that, or, you know, if they do get behind, get back into this contest. So this time of year, it's going to be super humid in Townsville. I think that also plays into the Cowboys' favour because they have done a full preseason in that Townsville heat. The Knights have not, of course. So, and Knights actually haven't won in Townsville since 2015, so 9 years. So I like Cowboys. Not enough to offer an official tip here, but I'm going to take them. I think they'll win. How are you on this one? Do you think Cowboys or are you thinking Knights?
Yeah, good point about the conditions as well. I do think the Cowboys will win, although I could only play the Knights in terms of the handicap because it's exactly what you said there. I've got a team that looked as bad as anyone. You know, they didn't suffer the biggest defeat, but given how much they were expected to win by, as disappointing as anybody in round one, off a long layoff so they get to stew, they come in against a team that looked like world beaters in round one, who's off the shortest turnaround. And the line has adjusted accordingly, where this line was 4 points lower kind of before those round one games played out. So it's a pretty large move considering that, you know, it's just one game. It is just one game. It's a tough one because you're not going to toss out everything you thought you believed preseason based on one game, but you also do have to really pay attention because it's the only key data point we have this year. So in this case, because I am someone who thought the Cowboys are a top four side and I had the Knights around 10th or 12th, I do think those results last week could be more telling than others may realise. So that's why I've passed this game, because I think the Cowboys are going to win. They are going to go to 2-0 at home. But if you wanted to play North Queensland, I just don't think you should play them now at 7.5 when everyone's on them. I think you should have probably been on them as soon as Newcastle lost. Although you didn't know what would happen in the North Queensland game, you knew that the Knights would be downgraded and that the 3.5, 4.5 was still available, you know, Thursday night last week. I talked a lot in the recap about how impressed I was by North Queensland, how good they look and where, the fact that they won our best bet comprehensively. They nearly got us out of jail with the mixed matchup, and they also gave us a good run for our money with the same gamer that only went down by one leg. And, you know, we've got both try scorers. We've got, you know, win both halves, did it all comfortably, did too much scoring in the first half. But again, I hope I don't confuse people too much. It's counterintuitive that I'm telling people the worse you looked in round one, the more I want to be on you. And the better you looked in round one, the less I want to be on you. But it goes back to an old saying that no team's as bad as they looked in one bad game, and nobody is as good as they might be in one good game either. And again, like maybe the Dolphins were just horrible. They certainly didn't want to do a lot of tackling, and they were in all sorts on that left edge where the Cowboys really took advantage. So line has adjusted accordingly, maybe a touch too far, but not enough to get me interested.
And that's the thing you referenced there. Like you're only, whatever the quote was, we've only got one game to go off, right? So it does make it hard making these predictions here in round two. But we're doing our best nonetheless. Storm v Warriors. We're at Amy Park. The line is set at -7.5 in the Storm favour, who are still without Cameron Munster and Nelson Asafa Solomona. Two huge losses to their side. Super excited for this one. Two sides with great spark across the park, players like Pappenhausen and Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. But the stats are not pretty here for the Warriors at all. The Warriors have not won at Amy Park since 2014, but I will note majority of those clashes were on Anzac Day. So I actually am giving them a chance to win this game and buck that trend. Storm have won 14 in a row over the Warriors. They've won their last 10 in a row at Amy Park. So when I say that I like the Warriors here, I'm going to tip them plus 7.5. I can see why people think I'm crazy. But I just think this is a game where the Warriors are going to keep turning up. They're really going to be motivated by the dominance Storm have had over them for so long. And I can really see them turning up, playing for the full 80, trying their absolute heart out. So I'm going to go Warriors plus 7.5. A lot of that is based off a gut feel, but man, I'm backing it. And I know you're backing them plus 1.5 tries. Are you backing them outright to win this as well? Or you just think that the tries is a good value there?
I was going to ask you that question. You had that feel. And I remember you picked some good upsets, especially early last year. What about you? Are you actually saying Warriors outright or just cover the line but lose narrowly?
I'm going to go cover the line just to be safe. But, you know, there is a world where they win as well, man, because the Storm put in a lot of defensive effort to win in round one. Like, I think they tackled like 7 sets in a row or something at one stage. It was just wild. How much that takes out of their gas tank, I don't know. But I am prepared to play Warriors at the line in this one.
Yeah, look, I couldn't suggest that the Warriors should be favourites. I give them a massive chance. I think they're live underdogs. But just being at home maybe gets Melbourne over the line. But I definitely thought the line was too far. And you know what the beauty of this is? This is the game I wanted a year ago. It's the 2023 third place playoff. Because these were the clear kind of teams 3 and 4 of the season last year. Like the Knights were thereabouts, but the Warriors handled the Knights, to be fair, in the finals. Storm came third last year, Warriors fourth. But remember, the Warriors actually mailed in round 27. Might have cost Sean Johnson a Dally M, as I said at the time. In any case, they both had exceptional seasons. Neither could trouble the top two, but it would have been an epic finals match if we got Storm versus Warriors one way or another last year, and I'm here for it in round two. I had my doubts about Melbourne going into last week, but I felt they shut down Nathan Cleary so well, him being too much of the total focal point of the Penrith attack. And now my biggest concern for New Zealand would be that it will be similar against Johnson. And I think the key to New Zealand is they're going to have to find other points of attack outside of SJ. You can't expect your halfback to pull out the magic every time. And it is tough because Tuipiki is very young, Metcalf, Green as well. I think it's Egan's time to elevate to that next echelon of nines. You know what he can do, Clarkey? He can, what is it? If you turn your back on him, he'll pull your pants down and put someone right through the middle of you, as the wise James Graham once said. So, and then Roger, you mentioned as well, add strike to the left. So I think the Warriors are going to have to find points outside of Sean Johnson brilliance. That's how they'd need to win. But taking into account that Munster's not in the 22 for Melbourne at all, so I don't have to worry about, or he, you know, could come in. This line surprises me. I do think it's an overreaction to last week. Sure, the Storm was strong, but what if the truth of the matter is Penrith weren't quite ready for pretty explainable reasons that we talked about last week? And travelling from New Zealand to Australia, not a concern to me early in the year. So it's a great game for mine. It should be under a converted try line. And I'm not just getting a converted try. I'm getting a try and a half. So I thought that was a great way to play this one.
Mate, I'll tell you what, I was looking for that James Graham quote while you were speaking. Absolute all-time. I remember when you posted that, I laughed so hard at it. Jimmy honestly did not mean it in any sort of sexual way, but the way he said it. I think it was, what he does, he keeps you honest at all times. If you go to sleep at the marker, he'll pull your pants down and he'll put someone through the back of you. And it was in a thick English accent and it was hilarious. But yeah, hopefully Wade Egan's all good. He did suffer that elbow injury, but he is named to play. I will say if he was ruled out, then that would be devastating for our bet because, as you said, he is so important and he can go to another level realistically. But that is a game that's being slept on and it could honestly be game of the round in my opinion. Next up, we've got two more Las Vegas sides. We've got the Sea Eagles v. the Roosters at Four Pines and the line is set at -1.5 in the Roosters' favour. For the Roosters, Dominic Young comes back. That's huge for them. And for the Seagulls, Saab is out, so Tommy Talau comes in. Now, our two winners from Las Vegas last week meet. Manly were very impressive in attack in round one, whereas I thought the Roosters were more so impressive in defense against the Broncos side that we know can score a lot of points, and they held them to just 10 there. So both sides will be absolutely intent on winning this game and going 2-0, starting the season strong. But I like the Roosters to do so more likely. And that's just based on the fact that they have been so poor to start the season in recent years. And after they won round one, they all spoke to the media and said, you know, it's been a huge focus, our start to this season. It's so important for us. And as you touched on, you have other teams saying, oh, we're looking to build. Whereas the Roosters have actually come out and said, like, our start has been so important to us, and we've really narrowed in on this. So that's why I like them in this one. It has been 11 years since Manly won back-to-back games to start their season, and the Roosters have won three of their last four at 4 points. So home advantage doesn't quite play into the Manly Seagulls' favour if you go by that stat. I've got the Roosters winning here. I think they cover the line of 1.5. But as you said, if you can get them head-to-head for $1.80, that's probably the way to play it, in my opinion. How are you seeing this one?
One of those recent wins was the Jersey Gate, where that they were in all sorts, if you remember that week. So that was quite a handing a win to the Roosters when Manly went without, what, 8 or 9 of their starters. Nonetheless, two sides that I backed in round one in Vegas, both best bets. That was fine. In the comments of the recap, someone said, oh, Manly's an outstanding bet at $2 this week against the Roosters. And I'm thinking, oh, a $2 line, I suppose. And then I'm like, do you mean the line? And they said, no, $2 head-to-head. And I was like, do a double take. Like, it's $2 head-to-head against the Roosters? Like, what am I missing? And I've looked closer and I still can't figure it out. And you take Saab out of Manly, that's a strike weapon. You add Young to the Roosters. I know that Lenu can't play, but you've got that much depth in the forward pack at this point in the season. You can say Manly were more impressive than the Roosters, but is that true? Because I think that Brisbane was tougher than Souths. And I think the Roosters equally impressed me in round one. I also thought the way Sam Walker played, it's not going to be too long before he's in the discussion to take DCE's Origin jersey. Like, you start to look at the way that Walker is ascending, as we expected he should when he burst on the scene. And, you know, it's not going to be that long till he's better than the likes of DCE and Adam Reynolds. People aren't going to be ready for that, but nobody was ready for when Nathan Cleary suddenly was the best player in the league, which I was proclaiming in the COVID season 2020. You know, it's logical that he can, especially behind such a complete and stacked team. It feels a bit obvious to just take the Roosters again, but I'm happy to do it when I'm going against a Manly side that's given people plenty of reason to believe. And finally, you know, it's a longer prep for both sides. I've got Robinson versus Seabold. You know, what more do I need when I only need the team to win to for that tip to salute? I'll take it.
One thing I forgot to mention as well is, of course, Jared Waerea-Hargreaves returns for Spencer Lanoue. Waerea-Hargreaves, 298 games. We know he's an out-and-out starter. As from Lanoue, he is more so viewed at this stage of his career as a bench specialist, right? And one area where the Roosters are not weak is off the bench. They got players like Nat Butcher, Nafua White, and Terrell May, who tears it up from the bench.
He was unreal in Vegas.
He was, man. And you go to this Manly bench, and respectfully, Corey Waddell, Ethan Bullimore, Nathan Brown, it doesn't pack the same spark as that Roosters bench. So I agree with you. I think that this line is definitely in our favour with the Roosters. It probably should be a little bit bigger, but there's an opportunity there to take that. We both like the Roosters. I think they get the job done. Final game of the round. It's the Finns versus the Dragons at KO Stadium on the Sunshine Coast. The line is a pick'em, from what I could see. I don't know if that shifted. That was earlier in the day. Few changes to the Dolphins, though. Isaiah Katoa comes in. Sean O'Sullivan is out. Jake Avarillo makes his debut for the club in the centres. Tessie New is out. Jared Wallace also joins their lineup. For the Dragons, they get Blake Laurie back, and Luciano Leilua makes his club return via the interchange. I was going to say club debut. That would be wrong. Dragons won't fear this trip to Sunshine Coast because they just went to the Gold Coast and thumped the Titans, decimated the Titans realistically. That being said, I'm going to sound super salty here, and give it to me if I'm being too biased. I think the Titans were as poor that game as the Dragons were good. I'm not saying the Dragons weren't good. They were awesome. But the Titans also stinked it up. Like, their performance was absolutely horrible. So I do think the Dolphins are a little bit better than what they've shown us against the Cowboys. I'm not sure the Dragons can get too much better than what they showed us against the Titans. So you can disagree with that. Maybe I'm being too biased. Of course, I am a big Titans fan, but I've got Dolphins winning here. They've won two of their last three at KO Stadium. And when you rebuild a club like the Dragons are right now, they are in a rebuild phase. Let's be honest. They've got their young stars coming through. Ben Hunt's on his last legs, new coach in. it's not all slowly up and improving every week. Quite often it's ups and it's dips, and you go up a bit more and then you dip down again. I think this would be a bit of a dip on their radar, looking for two in a row here. And I think the Dolphins, with Wayne Bennett's experience at their fortress being KO Stadium, will be enough to get them home. So I'm going to tip Dolphins here. I'm just going to tip them head to head. I think they can get the job done in this one. How are you going to go this one? Are you going to go your boys, or are you leaning more towards the opposition?
Well, then let's just explain as well. When we talk about Pick'em and you've got the line being zero, we call it Pick'em because there is no line involved. All you got to do to win your bet is pick the winner. And in this case, it's not necessarily, it doesn't necessarily mean if you think a team will win that you're going to back them, you're going to bet on them, because you've still got to be satisfied that they should be a decent favorite so you can overcome that edge. Because, of course, when we bet, we risk 10 to win 9. Again, you mentioned KO Stadium a couple of times. It's not quite, you said they're playing on the Sunshine Coast, just to not be a stickler, but that's still Red Flex, but still the region, and that's the region I live in. And everyone knows I'm a diehard Dolphins fan, and I'm hurting after the loss last week, although not much, because I did back the Cowboys. So of course, I cheered at home the best bet. And I'm with you here, though. Whether call me biased or not, I'm not backing the Finns for a bet, but I would only play the Finns. And it's a similar situation to Newcastle, because you have the double whammy of the team that looked awful against the side that couldn't have looked any better. So that's what we get here in this matchup. But what will keep me off is those changes, losing O'Sullivan, Lemuelu out while the Dragons get stronger because Leilua comes in off his suspension. Dragons haven't had life for quite a while, and now they've got that confidence boosting win. So that can really spark some energy around a joint that's been a bit listless. Of course, home advantage then swings the pendulum a bit back, and I do like, any team in their home opener. But I'll say the Dolphins by a hair, but not kind of with best bet confidence. And I definitely think it'll be a tight one where you've got to acknowledge Ben Hunt's like the best playmaker on the ground that could be the edge in a close contest.
How did these sides go last year? I remember they met early. I can't remember the results off the top of my head. I think it was the Dolphins winning.
The Dolphins started really strongly, won like 4 of their first 5, right? But I did have the Dragons as a best bet when they went down to Jubilee, and the Dragons won easy. And if you remember, like I'll be off by a week or so, but the Finns had just come off like 3 straight wins and then like a tight one against Brisbane. And, Bennett said it himself, like they were just flat. They'd been That's up right. for a month, went down, got pumped by the Dragons. Later in the year, the Dragons came to Suncorp, I want to say, and the Dolphins won comfortably, if memory yep. serves me correctly. But, the beauty of being live is someone else can fact check me and let us know. I've also got a tip on this game on the try score front from our friend Nicole. So why don't we have a listen to how he sees it?
Not the best start, guys, to 2024. I flopped with my Nathan Cleary anytime try scorer pick. I love the price. I love the matchup with Munster being out as well, but he didn't score, and the Panthers didn't score at all. Also, only got 1 in the 2 out of 3 ain't bad market for Toppy. So not the best start. But with this week, I like Zach Lomax. Just over $2.50 on Bet365. Looked great last week outside Jack Bird and up against the Dolphins, who obviously have a couple of injuries and not the best start to season 2024. So I'm pretty confident with that. As always, guys, Google Wiki Linktree. We're about to hit 4K on our Discord, our odds comparison tool, and all our tips come out free on the Wednesday evening. I'll catch you soon. Good luck. Punt responsibly.
Jack Bird actually did look better in the centres than I thought he would, to be honest. So I don't mind that tip at all.
And
there,
Lomax looked very dangerous on the wing. And 250 for a wing is good anytime, So that sounds appealing to me. And, of course, you want to check out everything that Nicole provides. And he's got you covered for try scorers. The odds comparison tool is outstanding. But also all the tripod content has a home on Wiki's website as well. It's much more user-friendly too. So it's great news for all involved. Now, some news that will disappoint some people, but we didn't hear from Tristan today. He's out of the country dealing with a personal matter, and we're so lucky to deal directly with the CEO of a company, and he looks after us and our group members. But when he's, just going to be preoccupied, then we're just going to wait on locking in the mixed matchup. So unfortunately, while I always love to share that, I will have to say stay tuned to our social media, to our group, where I will definitely still get that constructed. and released later in the week. Of course, you can look for the announcement, and I'll share some reasoning why. But you'll also just find it on TopSport later this week under their rugby league markets.
Absolutely. And to my viewers, particularly from Instagram that might be new to this show, what the mixed matchup is, it's through TopSport exclusively. Winnie combines the results of anything realistically from two different games, therefore making it the mixed matchup. And we have an incredible success rate with it. Well, what did we get last year? It definitely hit more times than not, right? I want to say it was up around 67.
Yeah, and we three seasons we've done it now, and we're hit over 60%. Winners at odds $2.50 plus. Although we started with a loss last week because the first component was Titans, and they could have lost by, I think, up to 12 points. It would have been fine, but they lost by 24, Clarkey. Sorry to have to remind you there, but good news for you. They can't go that badly this week. I hope that we can keep our winning ways going in terms of best bets. I'd love to know what other people are backing, so let us know in the comments or, you know, tag us anytime in any of the groups or forums for more punting discussion. I'll be releasing a couple same gamers through the week as well. Hope everyone has a fantastic week. You got anything else to sign us off before we get out of here, Clarkey?
Just want to say thank you very much to all of our viewers. We'll be back within 15 minutes of full time following the final game on Sunday to recap all of the action and our best bets. We'll also post the TopSport mixed matchup on my Instagram and Facebook for people to see there. And with that in mind, thank you again. And over to you, Winnie, for the famous last words.
Have a great week, guys. Lego.